The Mike Missinelli Show.
Mike Missinelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station. We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like the sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly with Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like the opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock ya.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Mike Missinelli Show, Monday following Eagles game. Always interesting, always fun. Broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. This is a story about the quarterback and the coach. Or if you're going to put it in a movie setting, you remember the movie The Quick and the Dead? Well, this is The Thick and the Dead. And you could pick either one, the coach or the quarterback, that fits that category. So let's go down and find out what we have here. And let's start with the quarterback, Carson Wentz. Now, Carson Wentz started out great. Oh, my God, he was on point. They're up 17-0. Everybody's going, okay, this is an easy victory, which I thought it was going to be. And then all of a sudden, it collapses. He throws the interception before the half that changes the game completely around. And from there, the numbers are grisly. He started off, and I don't have to remind you of this, but I will anyway. 14 for 18, 174 yards. That's brilliant. That's cashing in. After that, including the interception, which put Washington back in the game, 8 for 21, 71 yards, 2 interceptions, a lost fumble, and 0 points. I got more. When Carson Wentz was pressured yesterday, 15 dropbacks under pressure. Washington was coming out. 8 sacks, 6 incompletions, 1 completion, 0 throwaways. And on those 15 plays, the Eagles lost 52 yards. We talk about QBR, and had he continued on that roll he was on in the first half, QBR would have been sensational. An average QBR for a game is 50. Average. Carson Wentz yesterday, 14.2, the worst of any starter in the league. And it was a bad enough performance where it's fair for the people that are doing it, and they're doing it a lot, and there's plenty of people doing it, that are questioning whether this dude is the dude. Now, if I were a cynic, I would say, because you know my stance already on Jalen Hurts, that he was drafted to take over in 2 years. That there's something that they don't really like about Carson Wentz, and they want to go to the newfangled prize where they can do some different things, because that's the newfangled way the league goes on. And of course, they have to be ahead of the curve, because that's Howie Roseman, that's what he does. And if I were a cynic, I would actually say that they're intentionally setting this guy up to fail. Because let's look at the other side of it, which involves the coach. Now, I'm not saying that Doug Peterson, I don't think he's the sharpest tack, right? I don't think he is a total dunce overall. But let's be fair to say that yesterday, he was a dunce. So why was he a dunce? Okay, well, let's look at why he was a dunce. This is a quarterback who's getting pressured, whose offensive line is completely dismantled and unsure of themselves, and they're playing guys in there, don't even know how to play in the league yet. And yet, the game plan stays the same. And I'm thinking to myself, an idiot could see that they should be doing different things here other than a 6-step drop where they're trying to throw the ball down the field. Now, how many assistant coaches do they have? How many eyes in the sky do they have? Now, one guy. can send it down to this guy who's like numbskulled, the head coach. Not one guy upstairs can go, hey, coach, man, we can't hold him. We can't hold him. We got to do some different things. We got to roll him out. We got to screen pass. We got to do a short flat pass. We got to make the pocket mobile. We can't do this anymore. Wasn't heated at all. Wasn't probably even said at all. I sit here and go, that's malpractice. This is a coaching staff that committed malpractice yesterday. How in the world do they not see that they can't run the offense the way they want to run the offense? Now people are saying, what do you got to do? Play action? You got to run the ball. Okay, you don't really have anybody to run the ball. And that's your fault too. Because you go into a game with Boston Scott as your bellwether, he's a situational back. You're not going to be able to run the ball with him anyway. So you go into the game with two running backs, really? Clement, who looks like he's finished, folks. I mean, come on. And Boston Scott. So you take that element away. What is going on with this coaching staff? Why can't they see what they have and what they don't have and adjust to it? This head coach is a terrible adjuster. He's terrible as an adjuster. See, look at Washington. You want to hear a stat? The Washington football team, they average, you look at him, they stink, first of all. Their quarterback is not good. They didn't even pressure that kid. He looked terrible in the first half. They didn't even pressure him. Defensive coordinator didn't even pressure him. What's he thinking about? 3.4 yards per play Washington had yesterday. Do you know teams that do that? They're losers. Last year, teams that averaged fewer than 3.5 yards per play went 0-18 with an average loss by 20 points. Washington managed to beat the Eagles by double digits, going 3.4 yards per play. I sit here, I go, people go, well, it's only game one. Or, yeah, okay, it's only game one. That was ridiculous yesterday. And you can throw the blame around anywhere you want. Washington scored five drives, right? Here were their drives that scored 45 yards, 20 yards, 26 yards, 48 yards, and 20 yards. Mainly because Carson Wentz gave up the football. Not only that, they've got two guys that don't know how to play in the league yet, okay? You drafted speed. I got it. You're expecting Hightower to run a proper route? You're expecting Rieger to run a proper route? You saw those interceptions. Those guys don't know how to run those routes. When you run a route like that, it's got to be a sharp cut. You got to make sure it's like basketball. When a point guard's got the ball and somebody's coming up from behind, what's he do? He shifts his body to get in front of him so he doesn't get picked. That's how you have to run that route. You got to shield that guy, the defender, from getting the ball. And if you don't, you got to fight him for it. And they're throwing those kind of routes to those guys. Those guys can run one route right now. It's the go route. I don't know. I got nothing else. Tyrone, what you got?
Yeah, everything you said was true, unfortunately. I'm worried now. I'm worried. Because some of this stuff is going to get solved. All of it won't get solved. All of it won't get solved. And I still can't believe, since you talked about all the big pieces, the running back thing. So you had Holyfield, who has been with you since last year, who knew your offense. You knew internally, because they lied to us. They knew internally that Sanders was iffy for week one. You pick up a running back who doesn't know your offense, who you can't use. So you don't have Holyfield on your roster. You get him on your practice squad. You don't make sure he's on your team. So that if this happens, you have another running back who knows your offense when Boston Scott inevitably gets hurt because you're trying to make him your every down back. What was up with that, Doug? You're the coach. How do you let that happen? The other part is you told me 9 days ago that Pryor was the starting left tackle and everything was fine. You fast forward 8 days from when you made that statement. And not only is Pryor not playing anywhere on the offensive line despite missing two starters, when one of those guys in Driscoll leaves the game, Mailata's in the game and not Pryor. Therefore, why can I trust you about anything? And this is what we talked about before. Terrible coaching job. Yes, Wentz was awful. Wentz was brutal. Wentz can't play like that. I don't know why he played like that. I've never seen a guy play so good and start playing so bad. But all of that, the offensive line stunk. How is Pryor 9 days ago the starter at left tackle? And then when all that happens, nobody can protect this guy. In addition to him being bad, I said it out loud multiple times, but the line still stunk, and it may stink going forward. How is your starting left tackle, quote unquote, 9 days ago, not even playing at all when you lose not one, not two, but you end up losing three starters, and he still doesn't play? Something's up with this coach. I don't trust him, and that's why I'm scared now. I'm scared about this whole season imploding because I have lost all confidence in Doug Peterson because he's decided I'm stupid while he's doing stupid stuff.
Listen, you're totally right about the anticipation of a game and how you should anticipate things, okay? Because the one thing Washington does have, we knew they had a really good defensive front. Okay, now it's one thing to hope that when you start Herbig and Driscoll, that it's going to be successful. It's kind of like getting a dandelion pod and blowing and making a wish. But okay, you got nothing else. You got to try it out. Once you see it is not working, you're responsible as an NFL football coach to pivot, to adjust. What are all these coaches on this team supposed to do? What do they do that they can't send a simple message and the head coach can't recognize it that we can't do six step drops? Our line is getting eaten alive. I just don't understand it. I just don't get it. This guy, time and time again, listen, he may be a good coach for people, intellectual, emotional intelligence, whatever the hell they call it. But this guy, you see it time and time, he can't adjust. It's mind boggling to me. And, we'll talk about it because there's all kinds of angles that we need to talk about here. 610-632-0975. Now, we're going to have a lot of feedback on this game. Brian Westbrook's going to join us today. Ron Jaworski's going to join us today. So it's going to be an exciting show. And but it's not... not going to be any more exciting than to hear what you had to say. Because you heard what I had to say. I know you're thinking along the same lines. It is malpractice to have coached that game the way they coached it yesterday. And malpractice on the quarterback. And yeah, is it fair to question his ability right now? Yeah, it is. Mike Missanelli Show. It's on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Also, on a Monday following the Eagles game, we check in with the man that spends an hour with us on Friday for his views on what happened on Sunday to the Eagles. The great Brian Westbrook joins us, brought to us by Rudder Roofing, Windows, Siding, and Decking. They will protect your house. Up, B. Wes, I'll just let you roll. What did you see yesterday?
Well, good afternoon, Mike. You miss. I was looking forward to a great football game. I'm talking about a great football game for the Eagles, an opportunity for our defense to come out and show that Darius Slay is that elite type of corner that we needed, that Jim Schwartz now can play the type of defense that he wants to play, that Carson Wentz has matured in his fifth season to be the guy Patrick Mahomes like that we can depend on. And really, my thought was going into the game, I've been a part of games where we've had a bunch of injuries, myself, other offensive linemen, things like that. And in those types of games, we just need one of our stars, Donovan, but in this case, Carson Wentz, just to show up and be that star that I believe that he has the capability of being. And, sometimes in sports, despite all the things that could be against you, if you have that right guy, they just find a way. I mean, there's been games, and I always compare Carson to Patrick Mahomes because that's what we need him to be for us to win. I mean, just remember last year in the playoffs, the Chiefs were down by 24 before half. Patrick Mahomes got hot, found a way. They were down to the Titans before Patrick Mahomes found a way again. You know, that was the Texans and the Titans that they were down by. But the quarterback got hot and just found a way. And that's the way that I want to be able to think about Carson Wentz. I want to be able to think of him as a guy that, despite injuries on the offensive line, despite injuries at wide receiver, despite injuries at the running back position, that he'll find a way to get us through, will find a way to make us win. And, I was hoping that in his fifth year he could just be that guy. And it's becoming more and more obvious that he's just not that guy quite yet. And he also needs a lot of pieces around him to make him become that guy. And unfortunately, Sunday, with all the injuries, with all the guys not performing well, with some of the questionable play calls, and then with Carson just not looking good at all, that all equals up to an Eagles loss. And it's disappointing because there was no part of me when this schedule came out that said Washington has a chance to even be close in this game. I'm talking about even be close. But I should have listened to you years ago when you said, what is the line telling you? And the line actually, in some weird way, again, I don't know how to necessarily read it very well, but I think it started at 7.5. And then by the time we heard some of the news with Sanders being out and Lane Johnson being out, it dipped down to 5, 5.5. Huh. And something was going on. Somebody knew something. And it was obvious that they understood what Andy Reid has preached for years. You win football games in the trenches with your offensive and defensive line. And the Washington team, they had a great defensive line. We knew that coming into the game. I don't know that our game plan was up to par to handle what they were bringing.
Right, let's go back on your point with Wentz. Now, you said he's not that guy yet. Now, could that equate to he's not that guy at all? It's his fifth year. I mean, not that guy yet. You know, that's beyond, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, no, no doubt about it. I mean, I guess I always have kind of reserved hope that Carson could turn into this guy that can understand coverages, can understand when there's going to be a blitz. He has to get rid of the ball pre-snap. I always hope that his athletic ability would just allow him to escape and just throw the ball away. In his knowledge, he's smart. Because remember, when Carson was drafted, all that Howie Roseman and Jeffrey Lurie talked about was how smart Carson was. He's intelligent. He's a, you know, I don't know if he's a double major. He's just getting good grades at school. He's always been the head of his class. And now we're seeing repeated mistakes, the same mistakes over and over and over within games. I mean, we've obviously have seen those types of mistakes from season to season. We've seen that before, but we're seeing those types of mistakes within games, and it's starting to put the question that belief. So, you know, right now, my thought is that he's not that guy. I hope that he can turn into that guy for this franchise's sake, but I have not seen any evidence that he can.
Let me go into another vein here, because this is a two-headed monster here. It's clear to me that you watch the game, you have eyes, you played the game. You know that your offensive line is just not up to the task. And the evidence is that he gets sacked 8 times. You can say what you want about he caused the sack or he didn't throw it away. The point is that he's got 2 novices on the right side and Jason Peter, and they're all getting killed. So why isn't a coach should have a responsibility to accommodate or compensate for the weaknesses that he's seeing as the game plays out?
Absolutely. So. Just think about this, and I think we had a good example of this last night in the Cowboys versus the Rams game. The Rams felt that the Cowboys had a strong defensive line, and they do in a way. And so everything that Jared Goff did, especially early on in the game, was quick. It was fast. Get the ball out. It was timing. He had a clock in his head that said, you know what, I got to get the ball out because in 2.5 seconds, they will be here. You know, Doug Peterson did not go into our game saying that. He went into our game saying, you know, Carson is going to be protected. We're okay. He's going to be okay. He'll figure it out. And we have no proof of that. We have no proof that Carson will figure it out. We obviously went through a game and saw he did not figure it out, and he was not protected. And we never changed. We kept doing the same thing over and over
and over. Tell the people what should be done if your offensive line is breaking down like that.
Well, this is simple. You go match protection. If you still want to run the ball, I mean, you're up 17, so you don't necessarily need to, if you still want to throw the ball, you're up 17, so you don't necessarily need to run, to throw the football. You can run it at some point, but what you do is you protect your quarterback. You say, okay, instead of sending four guys out in the route, I'm going to send three or just two. And we're trying to find a way that way so that our quarterback is not going to get hit. That means we're going to keep a tight end in. That means we're going to keep a running back in. And also, when my quarterback comes to the sideline, I'm going to simply say this, Carson, get rid of the ball. I mean, literally, get rid of the ball because you're going to get killed back there. And not only are you going to get killed, you're going to make us lose a football game. And we can't afford to lose our first game to a squad that is in total rebuild mode like the Washington football team. It was just disappointing to see.
Or they can go three-step drops. They can go short throws. They can go screen passes. I mean, there's a lot of things they can do that they didn't do.
Mike, when you play a team like that you know has a good pass rush, you know they have quality players, the first thing, and I mentioned this to you on Friday, the first thing that you do is you want those pass rushers not thinking about the quarterback being at the top of the drop, not being at five-step, not being at seven-steps. So you screen them. You hit them from different places. Make a wide receiver come down and crack on them. Have a tight end come down and crack on them. At no point in this game did we make Kerrigan, Chase Young, any of those guys think about anything other than rushing the quarterback. And that's a mistake. That's a flaw in your game plan. And I think Doug Peterson is a good coach. I think he knows how to and has a good feel of our team. It did not show itself yesterday.
All right, Brian, good stuff, and people are heated today because they don't really know what this means. Now, they can win next week and write this shit.
But I was a part of a football team that got, I didn't play this game, but I was a part of a team that had Donovan sacked 8 times up in the Meadowlands. And I'll say this, and I'm not trying to give the Eagles an out because they don't have an out. There's no excuse. When you don't have a preseason game, and I'll just give you a little insight of how the mind of football players work. When you don't have a preseason game, you don't really have a good gauge of how hard you're working and how good you are at that point, right? Because when you have a preseason game, let's say you go out in the first preseason game, your starters play a quarter. If you go out there and you look good, then obviously the practice is working, all those different things. And this works for both teams, by the way. So I'm saying it from the Eagles' perspective, but there's really no excuse. But when you go out there and you play bad, that's when the coach ratchets it up and says, all right, listen, you played bad last week. We're going to work harder. We're going to do more. We're putting the pads on. We're going to be more physical. Because you didn't have a preseason game, I think Doug has allowed this team to kind of float through camp. And then when you float through camp, just thinking you're just going to go out there and win football games, you go out there and you get yourself embarrassed in your first game. And yesterday was an embarrassment.
All right, B. Thanks, man. We'll look forward to talking to you on Friday.
All right, guys. Take
Brian
care.
Westbrook brought to us by Rudder Roofing, Window Siding, and Decking.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
It's the 5 o'clock hour. It's the Mike Missinelli Show on a really brisk day today as far as calls go. And it's easy to see why. It was the Eagles in a total embarrassing loss yesterday. The 5 o'clock hour is brought to us by Guided Door and Window. You'll get 20% off all windows and doors with no money down, up to 3 years to pay it off interest free. Call Guided Door and Window today. The number's 1-877-GO-GUIDA or visit goguida.com. All right, before we get to our next guest, I just want to go over these numbers. I know Jaws knows these numbers. So yesterday, Carson Wentz went pressure. 15 dropbacks, 8 sacks, 6 incompletions, 1 completion. 0 throwaways. On those 15 plays, Eagles lost 52 yards. The QBR, which Jaws is well aware of, perfect QBR is 100, average QBR is 50. Carson Wentz versus Washington, 14.2, the worst of any week one starter. So let's bring him in. He's the great Ron Jaworski. He's on the Comcast Business Hotline. And Jaws, it's a story of the coach and the quarterback. And I know you've had a chance to review. What was your reaction about what happened yesterday?
It was not a good day, Mike. There's a real bold statement. Certainly did not expect to see the kind of performance I saw from the Eagles offense. You know, we all know these are crazy times right now. But I thought going into this game, the Eagles had a huge advantage in the coaching staff and a veteran quarterback based on, you know, what was going on with training camp and off-season programs and workouts. You would think a veteran head coach with a veteran coaching staff with a veteran team would have had a huge advantage in this game. It did not play out that way. And clearly, you know, I would say it's probably the worst game I've seen out of Carson Wentz. Ball placement, inaccurate throws, some fundamental breakdowns in mechanics. It just wasn't a sharp day despite an absolutely incredible start. I thought he was very good early, but boy, with a buck 44 left in the clock as I'm watching the tape and I see, knowing the outcome, I see, wow, 7-17, nothing, a buck 44. Worked his clock down, maybe another score, and he throws an out route to the inside, and it went all downhill after that.
Jaws, it's confusing to a lot of people how a guy who can start off like that can totally break down. Now, this is his fifth year in the league. How do you explain that?
Yeah, I can't. In fact, that's why I thought this was a big year for Carson. You know, the fifth year in this system, in Doug's system, solid veteran guys around him. I felt very confident he was going to have a big season. All reports are, it's been he can only go on reports right now because we don't have the opportunity to go to camp and see what's going on and see how things are playing out. But clearly, I expected big things, and the way the game started, 17-0, Eagles dominating on both sides of the football. It just seemed like, after that interception, which was a poor throw. I mean, it's a deep comeback at 20 yards off a 7-step drop, and you throw it where your guy can get it, low and outside only. And he throws it high and inside, and it's picked off, and it seemed from that point on, it snowballed. The Washington football team got some confidence, and, Carson never regained his.
Talking to Ron Jaworski. Now, Ron, listen, fans react. We know they react. But they're also, in this town, pretty smart fans. And one of the conclusions that they're reaching is that they are so down on this quarterback to this conclusion. He's not the guy. Now, speak to that. What do you think at this stage right now? Is that reasonable to say he's not the guy? Or is it just one game that we can go, he's going to come back?
No, I think it's unreasonable to make that statement based on, a bad half of football. It was a bad half of football. I'm not going to sugarcoat that in any way. And you don't expect that, from the leader of your team, from a guy that had, almost 30 minutes had a flawless game and made a mistake. And then it just, the guys that become great quarterbacks in this league just brush that off, and they get back and keep firing and they don't miss a beat. He had a strong, surge last season and led the football team. And you can't discount that. He played great down the stretch last year. And I've always said my only negative about Carson has been availability. I always thought he had great ability. And, he just wasn't healthy in big games. And that was evidenced by the Seattle game last year. But I thought coming into the season, the veteran, they surround him with more speed. And although, the offensive line certainly was disappointing yesterday. But I thought the weapons around him and, the running game was non-existent. And, I could harp on that all along because I think that my one complaint about Doug a lot is he forgets the running game. With the game you're up 17-0, you call 50 pass plays and only 17 runs is unconscionable. And I know I've said this to you, Mike. I think back, as you know, Dick Vermeil is a dear friend of mine, and we talk football all the time. And he would tell me when he had the greatest show on turf in St. Louis, when they won the Super Bowl, and Mike Martz was calling the plays, and the first thing coach would always say, after about two series, pass-happy Mike Martz would start throwing the ball over the lot, and he'd go up to him and say, 28, Marshall Faulk, get the running game going. So you have to have balance on offense, and the Eagles by some craziness yesterday, yeah, lost their balance with a lead of 17-0.
There's so many little things we can talk about. Not the least of which, though, they left themselves kind of barren at the running back position. And that goes to the front office in their preseason prep. But let's talk about the offensive scheme. They were obviously getting dominated up front. Their offensive line was a novice right side and a guy who they just had thrown back at left tackle who's 38 years old. You could see it with your own eyes they were getting overpowered. Now, 8 sacks is 8 sacks, and I know he's responsible for some of them. But why didn't the offensive scheme give in to that weakness and change it up a little bit? I mean, you're a quarterback. You see what's going on out there. Why not change it up?
You know what, I actually, you know, when I went to the tape, Mike, after watching the game on television, I kind of sensed that. But you just said it. Carson was holding on to the football. There were outlet passes. There were dump offs. Well, you know, when you're dropping back, you got to have a clock in your head. And the strength of the Washington football team was that defense line. And everyone that understands football knew that was their strength. 4 number 1 draft choice on that defensive line with great depth. And this is an Eagle offensive line that clearly had a lot of questions coming into this game and even more at the end of this game. You mentioned Jason Peters. I mean, I don't know how much he's got left in the tank. If he's your best old lineman, he didn't play that way yesterday. You know, maybe he'll rebound. But the thing is, I thought the biggest thing was Carson was holding on to the football and not getting rid of it when he felt that pressure. I thought they tried a number of different things. You know, they went maximum pro, tried some shot plays. They tried the power running game. They tried the option running game. They tried the quick passing game. But give credit to Washington's defensive line. And Carson didn't feel that pressure and get rid of the football when he had to. He was holding on to the football.
It's clear that they need to get Lane Johnson and Miles Sanders back to complete whatever they are on offense. But next week, they got another elite defensive line that could overpower them. So, like, what do you see about next week and how they have to play this game?
Yeah, this is not the defensive line you want to see after that performance. This guy, Aaron Donald, has dominated the NFL for the last 3 years. I mean, some people would say not only the defensive MVP, but team MVP. He can go in there and take over a game and then pick up Floyd from Chicago, a number one pick a few years ago. They have a presence on the defensive side of the football, the Rams do. So this is going to be no picnic on Sunday. And if the Eagles play like they played yesterday, they're going to be 0-2. Plain and simple.
I'm looking at this this wide receiver situation, which is like DeSean Jackson plays 50% of snaps, and his explanation was it's like load management or whatever it is. And then he's got the two young kids. And listen, I know they've got speed and they're athletic and they can run go routes, but like did they have them in the right patterns yesterday? They didn't look like they knew how to run those routes.
Yeah, there was some opportunities in the passing game. Carson did not get them the football. They had some crossing routes available. Carson threw behind three receivers. Those two outcuts that were both intercepted were on the quarterback. They were thrown to the inside where they have to be thrown away from the defender. They were not. But everyone understands it takes time to develop harmony between a quarterback and his receivers. It doesn't happen without preseason games, without an off season. It takes time. And you could just see yesterday there was no timing. And I think a lot, you know, I'm not making excuses. I won't do that. But certainly what is going on this year in 2020 with the lack of, you know, off season, the lack of mini camps, the lack of training camp, the lack of contact, the lack of preseason games. A lot of guys, and we heard all the reports, oh, you ought to see these guys in training camp. Yeah, they're there in T-shirts and shorts, you know. There's a big difference, Mike, as we know. They're running around. They look fast. They look quick. They're catching footballs. But the minute someone hits you on the side of the head or in the mouth, it's a whole different ball game right now. And that's kind of what happened yesterday. Those young guys, it weren't the bright lights and it wasn't the 70,000 people. It was NFL talent that you were up against. And you could see some of these young receivers weren't quite ready for it.
I know this is a crystal ball question. I'll let you out on this note. Is this team going to be okay, or is that game a big alarm?
You know, I've seen losses before, and I've tried to explain them, but this one, to take your term, is a big alarm. There were some breakdowns in a lot of phases of this Eagle football team yesterday. And by the way, the team that beat them is not a very good football team. And when you have a 17-0 lead, and you can't hold on to that lead, and look like the Eagles looked in the second half. And now I didn't look at the defensive side of the tape yet, but I looked at the offensive side. Looked at each play probably 8 to 10 times. I was just like, I was getting angry as I was watching it. But to answer your question, I'm alarmed right now.
All right. Ron, it's always a pleasure, man. And we'll have to follow. This is a really strange situation. We didn't expect
very
this.
Very strange.
All right, man. Thank you. We'll appreciate
it. All right. Thanks, Mike.
All right, Ron Jaworski. Of course, you can hear the Ron Jaworski show on Wednesdays from where he's doing it at his golf courses.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.